Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to start just by, I don't know if Mia's still in the room, but James on vacation this week, and Mia agreed to come and do our worship this morning, and she's done Aspire conferences all over, and so I just want you to feel really blessed that we had this kind of person in our worship service today, and if you see her on the way, I just give her thanks for coming and for spelling James for a little bit. We're starting a new sermon series today, and I'm kind of excited about it. I'll just ask this. How many of you guys would like life to be simpler? Anybody? Life to make more sense, life to be less complicated, more full of just order and joy and all that kind of stuff? Absolutely. There's this holy order in life, and if we keep it, things just go better. They run smoother. There's more blessing involved. And the last series that we did talked about the first piece of this order, and that's that God's got to be first in our life. And he's got to be the most important thing in our life. And the whole last series has looked about how do we find our way back to him, especially in the midst of hard times or difficult times. This series is looking at the second step, because after God comes family. First your spouse, then your kids. And I'll just tell you, as long as you keep that order in your life, you'll find that life makes more sense, that you'll find more peace, more strength to deal with life as it comes. Whenever those get out of order, life complicates in a hurry. And so today we're going to talk about that second piece and really the next 2 weeks as well. And I want to just kind of focus a little bit on what's the purpose of family? How did God design it? How is it supposed to work to bring us this peace and this blessing and all the kind of stuff that he talks about? I say that because there's a lot of forces, it seems like, in our culture that are changing family today. Anybody kind of recognize that just a little bit? It's not the way it was. There's a lot of voices out there saying that the family is finished, that it's out of date, that it's irrelevant, that's a thing of the past. You have all sorts of young couples today that just, they have kids and then maybe they don't get married. You know, family seems to be this option that we might work in if it fits our lifestyle. We might work in if it fits our goals, but it's just not this necessary thing anymore. But into that societal noise, God gives us a different voice, a different perspective, and he just tells us that the family isn't finished yet, that he still has purpose yet for it. As we look around, we'd have to say that it is fragile, though, that it needs to be strengthened. You look at the high divorce rates, the numbers of suicides amongst teens today. I was just reading an article saying that teen suicide is skyrocketing over the last couple years. There's various factors involved with that. You look at the tense and dissolving relationships in so many homes. So many people are working. Both people are working. You got stresses with money. You got stresses with kids. You got schedules with kids. They got school functions. You're not communicating. We're struggling, spending time with one another. Just creates for a very unique but very frustrating household experience for so many Americans today. And so it's clear that we need God's help, and we need his voice, his strengthening hand into our marriage and into our families. And so we go to God's Word because it always has these amazing answers. And we go to God's Word this morning to see what the Bible has to say about family, and I want to take a look at that. First thing it says is in Genesis 2, and it was just read to us by Henry, it says, "It's not good for man to be alone." And you know what? That's true. Whether you're married or single, it's no fun going through life by yourself. There's a hardship with owning everything, with having to be responsible for everything, for having no backup whatsoever, for having nobody that cares. And so we need relationships. It's the way that God designed us. And so whether you're married or not, you need some deep relationships and some caring people in your life to make it make sense, to have it feel right, to feel more like blessing and less like curse. Why? Because man was not made to be alone. So God created family so that we never, ever have to be. But what is family exactly? I think it's a good question. 50 years ago, I probably wouldn't have had to talk about this. It was just assumed, kind of like going to church. People just knew what it was for. They knew how it connected them to God the Father. They knew how it strengthened them for dealing with life. Everybody knew what family was for back then too, but things have just changed so much. And many people, like I've talked about today, have no idea what family's for. Fortunately, God does, and he tells us in his word that he has so much more in his plan for families than we're now seeing on TV. Let me give you a couple examples of that. One of the first things that family is to be is a shelter in the midst of the storms of life. I think that's important. The reality is that we all have storms in life. We've talked about that over the last few weeks. Why? Because life is tough, because life is hard. It rains and pours on us. We get deluged through tough times in our life when things don't go according to plan. And so we need a place of protection and stability and peace and security to survive. And I just want to give you this image. When you were a kid and you were freaked out because of a storm or you were worried about whatever and you ran to mom or dad and they wrapped you up in their arms and they said, "We got you, it's okay." All of a sudden that fear dissipated and you had this peace. God's supposed to be able to bring you that peace in life. We need that protection and that stability and that security. In Proverbs 14:26, it says, "Reverence for the Lord gives man a deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and strength." And so when we consider families, I'll just ask you this. Do your children have a place of refuge and strength when they start worrying, when they start getting scared? Because the Bible says that God created family first and foremost to be a refuge in the midst of the storms. What kind of storms? Well, let's take a look at some. How about the storms of change? Did that ever happen? Realities, we all go through changes in life. We have illnesses, we have deaths, we have graduations like we're celebrating today. We have change in jobs, we move on. Life seems like it's a continual set of changes. And there needs to be a place in the midst of all those changing in our life that there's a house somewhere where there's a family in it that I know cares about me and that I can count on. When change comes, we need a place of shelter in the midst of the storms. How about the storm of failure? Again, we're not always a winner in life. You guys are pretty close, but the other services, we all struggle, right? I mean, you lose sometimes. You get turned down at work for a promotion. You get an F in school. You don't make the team. Your team has a losing season. You go bankrupt. You lose your job. Things just don't always go as planned in life. We take our hits as we go through life. It's not an unending series of successes, which it was, but then we'd be so proud that we probably couldn't see anything else. But you can handle a lot of failure in life if you can come home to hugs and kisses, where there's a shelter in the midst of the storm. I love that scene where the older daughter was going home and she opened the door and dad gave her a big hug. A place that you can go where you know somebody is there for you. Family members are supposed to be a shelter in the storms of life. There's a third big storm that I think we face too sometimes, and it's the storm of rejection. It's probably the most difficult storm to handle of all because we hate it. We hate being rejected, put down, ridiculed, criticized. Some of us have had difficult rejections in our life growing up, especially maybe on the playground, because kids are cruel. If you don't believe in sin nature, just become a teacher for a little bit and you'll realize kids are mean. They just are. Many of you can remember points in your life, points of pain in your life when you were a child. And you remember the embarrassing situations. You still remember them vividly when you were embarrassed or put down as a kid. Somebody said something about you and hurt your feelings. And if you didn't have anybody to go home to at that time to give you the positives in life, to share with what they said was a lie and that God has so much more in store for them, those things and those pains and those words can be long-lasting. They can be lifetime emotional wounds. So we need a storm protector in the midst of life. I was talking to a lady a couple weeks ago. She was talking about going back to her 50th graduation, 50th anniversary of her graduation, right? She was so excited about it, kinda, right? She was excited to go back and see, but she was still carrying some things that the kids had done to her when she was young that made her feel less than or not as important. They were just mean things, hateful things that these kids had done to her, and she was worried still 50 years later that they would treat her the same way they did when they were kids. And so she was thinking, well, maybe I won't go back because I don't want to deal with that, until all of a sudden one of the kids called that had been mean to her and said, "We're so looking forward to you coming." And all of a sudden the fears dissipated and she realized it was just when they were kids. But 50 years later, she's still holding on to those words. Some of you can still remember the names of these people, the exact sentence or the exact words that were shared about you, the moment of embarrassment, and you're carrying that for years and years, and you're not balancing that out with God's truth, and you're still reacting to life as if some of those things are true. And so we need a God that gives perspective, and we need a family that shelters us in the midst of those storms in life. And then God goes on and gives us another one. A family is a learning center for life. We usually think of parents teaching kids, but I learn all sorts of things from my kids, especially my youngest. She says the craziest things. It's fun. But if you're not learning from your family, you're missing so much. The Bible says that families are to be learning centers as we go through, because it's there that you learn your basic skills of life, how to walk, talk, eat, all those basic life skills you learn at home. A place to teach and learn. And you see, God intends our families to be these learning centers for life, because whether we like it or not, we learn a ton at home. For example, here are three things you'll never leave home without. Relationship skills. You learn to relate at home, good or bad, right or wrong, effective or ineffective. And one of the truisms of life seems to be that so often your happiness is dependent upon your ability to relate to other people. Parents, you have a chance to show your kids how to make friends, how to be responsible, how to care for one another, how to be sensitive to each other's needs. That's why it's so important that we learn these good relationships at home. With things like this, too, the relationships are worth saving. How about teaching your kids that? That every fight doesn't have to end in divorce, or that you can work through problems and get to the other side of them. That relationships are worth working on, and it's important to work on them. That we talk out our problems, that we ask for forgiveness quickly, that we need to model these things as parents to our kids, because we have a whole culture that just quits when things get hard. You're helping your kids determine how they're going to relate to people for the rest of their lives. How about character? Much of what you learn, you basically picked up from your parents, like father, like son. In fact, I'm kind of freaked out at how similar I am to my dad. In fact, the older I become, the more and more similar I become like my dad. And I just can't help it. I just pick it up along the way, because character is taught, not taught. For example, you don't tell your kids, always be honest, and then somebody calls on the phone and you say, tell them I'm not here. Because they watch what you're saying. They watch what you're doing. You can't say one thing and then do the exact opposite thing. They know it's not disingenuous. And then how about values? Think of all the things that we learn in the home. About work, sex, time, money, play, God, other people. We learn what's really important in life, right? Because our family shows us the values. Values come through loud and clear, either unintentionally or intentionally. In Isaiah 38, verse 19, it says, our generation makes known your faithfulness to the next. And so your family is a relay of values. It's like a relay race. You're passing the baton on to your children, and they'll pass the baton on to their children, and so on and so forth, to the next generation and beyond. Your family is simply one link in a long chain throughout time, linking families of the past to the families of the future. So it's pretty serious when you think about it. Saying that I'm not only influencing my kids right now, but I'm influencing future generations. And when I raise my kids, it's not just, are my kids going to make it? It says, are my grandkids going to make it? Are the ones that come after them going to make it? I'm influencing generations of my family name. And I'll give you an example of that. It's one of the things that Mike and I discuss all the time, and it's just a struggle when you do youth ministry, is when you have parents that don't come to church. Because in the home, they may say God is important, but they show that he really isn't. It's not important to get up on a Sunday morning, not important enough to pray, not important enough to read the word. And so they say they're Christians, but they don't come. And so the kids see one thing, and they hear another. I'll give you an example of that. Even in my family, my sister stopped going to church when she went through the divorce. She just struggled with some anger toward God. And so my parents have picked up the slack. They've been trying to bring my nieces every week to church to show them that God's important and how much he loves them. And the oldest niece is going through confirmation, and it's just awesome. But the studies even say that if a mom brings her kids every week to church and the dad doesn't come, there's only a 20% chance the kids are going to come to church for the rest of their lives. How much less the percentage if neither parent is coming to church? You see, you go home and you hear one thing, but you see a complete other thing, and it's just disingenuous, and the kids see that it's disingenuous, and you're teaching your kids something that you don't mean to teach them because of selfishness, because we get in the way. So ask yourself, what am I unintentionally teaching to my kids? What am I teaching them about money? What am I teaching them about sex related to the kinds of movies that I bring home? What am I teaching them about character or honesty or all the issues of life? What am I teaching them about hard work and its value? What am I teaching them about the importance of family itself, the ability to relax? What am I unintentionally saying? Is it really what I want to teach them, the things that they see me doing? Does it match? What do I want them to know? What do I want them to leave home with? What heritage do I want them to have? In preparing a shelter from the storm, it shows how important love is, right? But in preparing the learning center for life, I need to evaluate my values and say what's really important, and then more importantly, do what's really important. What do I want them to catch? One of the greatest things that I want for my kids is for them to be in heaven. But there's only one way I know how to do that, and model that it's important. I desperately want my grandkids one day to be in heaven, not anytime soon, okay? I want to emphasize that. But I want them to be in heaven. And there's only one way that that's going to happen, too, if they see it modeled before them. There's another thing that God wants the family to be, too, and it's a place to play. It's a format for fun, a haven for happiness, a place to have a good time. You look back and you have good memories about your family. It's a place where you kick back and relax and take it easy and enjoy life, and that's missing today in a lot of homes. You've heard it said that a family that prays together stays together. It's the same family that plays together stays together. The family that has fun. And so many families today, that's the basic problem. They need to lighten up a little bit. They don't have any fun, but they're yelling at their kids all the time. So let me just ask you, do you have fun with your kids? Do you like being around them? Do you enjoy your family? Because if you don't have fun with your kids now, then don't be surprised if they don't want to come and visit you after they leave. Kids want to be where the fun is. In other words, enjoy the family that God has given you. The Bible says that children, if you have them, are a gift. In Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5, he says, children are a gift from God. They are his reward. Children are like sharp arrows. Happy is the man who his quiver is full of them. I tell you, I'm increasingly aware that my kids are only here for a season. My oldest is going into high school, and it's freaking me out. It really is. But they're only here for a season, and I want to make it count, right? There are always other times and other days to do projects. But you only have your kids for this short period of time that they're with you, a season of life. There's other times for different points of career, right? But God's given them to you. You need to celebrate them and enjoy them because, again, they're only here for a season. And then finally, the last thing is that a family needs to be a place where you connect with Jesus. In Acts 16:33, it says, the whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. And I tell you, that's the bottom line. That's the thing that's going to last past this lifetime. When your whole family knows the Lord, loves the Lord, and serves the Lord, it is a unifying factor. I came across this several years ago, but it says the divorce rate in America is now 1 out of every 2.5 marriages. The divorce rate in Maricopa County is 1 out of every 2. But a number of years ago, Harvard University did a study, and it was later reported in Marriage and Family magazine. They studied families where they read the Bible daily together, where they prayed together, and they went to church together. And the divorce rate was 1 out of 1,286. In other words, that's the difference that God can make in a relationship. He's the glue. And so joy comes when your family believes in God, when you know that they're going to be with you for eternity. There's nothing like the thrill to me personally when I see my kids out there singing praises to God, or on my vacation days when I get to sit next to them and hear them sing praises to God, and they finally sing now. They're not just mouthing the words. It's cool. Or when my kids are even paying attention in the worship service to one of the sermons, I get excited about that too. Because I know they're catching something, that they're getting something, that they're connecting with God. My number one task as a father is to do the best I can to make sure my kids grow up loving Jesus. It's so important to me that if you have a family member that doesn't know the Lord, you need to be praying for them all the time. And there's hope in that. My grandma prayed for 30 years for my aunt to come back to the Lord. She did. And her husband are serving the Lord, and they're loving it, and they're going to be in heaven with us. But 30 years went by when she didn't go to church. And so now we're praying for my cousins, that somehow, somewhere, they'll come to the Lord. Nothing is more important to me as a father than to know my kids' eternal salvation is secured and we'll be together in heaven. And to be honest, that's why Jesus came, right? That's why God sent him here. So that when he rose from the dead, that eternity could be secured. That strength to get through this crazy life of ours could be possible. That forgiveness is ours, that strength and joy is possible. He sent Jesus so he might be our strength when life gets hard, our Savior when we mess up, our rock when we're scared, and in a very real way, lay the foundation for what it means to be our Father in the family of God. Guys, I can't encourage this enough, to pay attention and to value this time with your kids. We actually did some things this week. We thought it was cool. You guys can be the judge. But we made these Trivial Pursuit cards. And the whole goal of these things is to spend time with your family. And so if your kids are at home, we encourage that you try to find 3 nights this week where you can sit down and go through some of these questions. And they're each geared for a different part of life. CH is children, PT is preteen, and so it goes. AD is adult, PAR, parents. And if you have questions on the others, I can help you out. But it's just that he gave you some questions just to kind of sit down and talk to each other, to spend some time with each other. So many families are eating in front of the TV, and there's no real conversation that's going on anymore today. And yet a family is so important. If it's the second thing next to God, then we've got to place a priority on it. And so go with these encouragements today and go with God's love. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. God, we love you so much, and we do. We thank you for the families that you placed us in. For those of us that had good experiences growing up, Lord, we thank you for the love that mom and dad showed us, for the unending support, for the grace they showed when we messed up, and for the fact that they're still there and still caring for us and still praying for us. For those of us that did not have positive experiences growing up, Father, we pray that you would insert yourself in the midst of that. Where they failed, that you can be strong. That where they failed to show love, that you can remind us that we are loved by you. Where they failed to forgive, that you can remind us that your forgiveness is complete and that it's new every morning. That you can be the Father that we never had and give us the strength that we need to get through this life. Father, help us with our families. Help them know you. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.